Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler on this first Friday of the month, which is the InnoSign Network's hour of prayer. And this is such a wonderful blessing to be able to have this once a month. And usually I'm on with Anton Raimondo, but he is in Lourdes. So we pray for Anton, who'll have a miracle over there, and perhaps get his lungs healed. But what a wonderful place to be there. So I'm sure Anton will be here with us in spirit. I'd like to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being our Lord and our God. Lord, we pray, along with the intercession of your mother, that we may be open today, the listeners, everybody working here today, the InnoSign Network, and myself, be open to the promptings of your most Holy Spirit, solely for the reason to give glory to you. Lord, we pray that if our listeners are prompted to call in for prayer requests for themselves or their loved ones or whoever it might be, we pray, Lord, that your most Holy Spirit will touch each of us and keep these airwaves open. And Lord Jesus, in your name, Jesus, we bind and cast away Satan and any evil spirits about any of these radio waves or in our thoughts and minds, just to cleanse the areas we're all in so we can be open, your most Holy Spirit, and allow your love and mercy to touch each of us, and each of us can come away healed in some way, whether it's physically, spiritually, or emotionally. And in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you. Amen. So for today, always like to start with a reading, but for any of you getting primed up, the phone number to call in for any prayer requests is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. Or if you're out of the area, certainly it's 888-343-2484 or 888-343-2484. I always like to start with a reading from one of the upcoming readings, either today or the upcoming weekends. Since today is the feast day of Saints Philip and James, I think I'd like to do a reading today, today's gospel reading. And it's a reading for the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do not know him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat or something. "From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long, you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying that he's in the Father and the Father is in him. And if we're in a men's group this morning, we meet every Friday at 6 a.m. Reflect on the upcoming weekend's readings for the Sunday Mass. And we were speaking about the Holy Spirit, and I think a lot of times we forget that it's the Holy Spirit of God. We call it the Holy Spirit, and people sometimes go, well, I don't know the Holy Spirit. You know, I know Jesus and I know God, but I never think about the Holy Spirit. But it's almost just like today's reading where Jesus is saying, if you know me, you know the Father. Well, if you know Jesus and you know the Father, you know the Holy Spirit. And I think that's, they're all in one. It's a mystery, but it's such an important blessing. So we always call, and you had heard me today, asking the Holy Spirit to descend upon us and prompt us. And I pray for our listeners that as you're getting prompted by the Holy Spirit to perhaps call, and you'll know when it happens. You're thinking, when you start thinking about it, like, well, maybe I'll call. You know, I could pray for so-and-so, but no, I'm a little nervous to get on the air. I could do this. Well, pray that that prompting of the Holy Spirit, pray for the holy boldness that you, when you do get prompted, you will call. And it's, Jesus uses each of us as a conduit for his healing love and mercy. And sometimes if he's prompting us, whether it's myself as we're praying, or listeners, you're prompted to pray, really want to pray for yourself, have a prayer for yourself, pray for others, feel free to call in. And the beauty about this InnerSign network, and it's such a blessing, it's really led wonderfully by Kathleen McCarthy, the beauty of it is when we're praying for someone on the air, each of you are joining in on that prayer. So any prayer requests that are had, it's not only myself praying, but it's all the listeners. And I think there's something to be said when a group of brothers and sisters in Christ join in for one purpose, one purposeful prayer. And I think it's a really, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing we have. So the phone lines are open, and without Anton here, it's going to be a little more challenging to keep the talk going, so I could certainly use any callers in with any words of wisdom you might have. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, and you'll speak to Maureen or Mary, and we have Patrick doing the engineering for the show. So we're ready for you for any calls and for our listeners. We have one of the callers that sent in, or an email to request in for Ray, who's having heart surgery. So we'll say a prayer for Ray. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that your healing spirit will just surround Ray and really give him that peace, the peace that you really know. He's going to be having heart surgery, and Lord, I know there's probably worries he's got and anxiousness and everything about that, but Lord, we pray that Ray's surgery will go very well, and he will have a heart that really is, whether it's blockage or whatever it might be, that he will have a more functioning, healthy heart to allow his heart to pump life-giving blood throughout his body. We pray for the doctors and nurses that will be involved in the surgery. Pray that your healing hands will touch theirs, and you will work through them to have Ray with a successful surgery. And pray that, but most importantly, what's coming to my mind right now is that Ray will have that peace of mind, body, and soul going into this heart surgery, knowing that every day of our lives is in your hands, but particularly when you're having heart surgery, it's a little bit scarier because sometimes it might not go right, and that can be a real problem. So we pray that Ray will just have that peace of mind knowing that you were there, you're there with him, and you're guiding the doctor's and nurse's hands. We pray for a successful heart surgery. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Next we had a caller, Elizabeth, who is an elderly woman who has health issues. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for Elizabeth and really any elderly women who have health issues. We pray, Lord, that your healing love and mercy will touch them, particularly Elizabeth. We pray that whatever these issues are, that whether physical, mental, or sometimes spiritual issues, pray, Lord, that you will heal them and just allow your touch to heal Elizabeth, whether it's through one of our brothers and sisters on this wonderful earth. We pray whether it's a relative or whoever it might be, we pray that they will, with this prayer, that she will have improvement in these health issues, and really solely so that she can live a more healthy life to do your perfect will. Lord, I'm sure like all of us, you have a plan for each of us to do. And sometimes we're praying, it seems we're praying kind of selfishly to pray for good health and whatever, but the reality of it is each prayer, each healing is an opportunity to heal each person and give them a sign of God's love and mercy for them. And showing a sign of mercy, just like when Anton is in Lourdes, and all these the healings that have been shown, proven healings, it allows other people to have hope. And not everybody gets healed, but it gives them hope saying, hey, there's something here. God does exist. There's something for healing. So we pray, Lord, for that you can do some sort of healing for Elizabeth and any elderly women who are having health issues. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We had another prayer request for Dave, who needs a valve replacement. And I'm assuming this is a valve replacement of the heart, but I'm not really sure whether the valves can be replaced, but I'm probably thinking it's a heart. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for Dave and really any of our listeners who are going to be going under surgery for a valve replacement. Pray, Lord, that the doctor's hands will be skilled and the nurses, and that this valve will give Dave healthy valve, successful surgery, will make Dave's heart more efficient in pumping life-giving blood throughout his body. Lord, you are really your spirit is life-giving blood to all of us. But we pray just kind of in a visual way, the way the heart can pump blood throughout the body, that Dave's valve replacement will be successful and it will give Dave a little more energy and health in his life, all to give glory to you and to help others. Because I think each of us are here on this earth for a reason. And sometimes we think that we are... maybe what we do isn't important, or sometimes we can, but each of us, God's got a plan for each of us. And each person we come in contact throughout the day, we could be very well that conduit to identify them with Jesus if they can see the love about ourselves. It can get them to know God the Father better. All these things, we have such opportunities as brothers and sisters in Christ to spread the faith of Jesus Christ to all. But it certainly makes it a little easier if we have health and energy to be able to do that, so we can go out just like the apostles did and spread the faith all over the earth. But with us, most of the faith is pretty much known around the earth, but it might be in our own household, or it might be where we work, or it might be wherever we are, where there's others around. I pray that each of us will get more of a urgency, more of a special prompting to pray for those around us and be aware of them. Because it's so much life-giving and healthier when we're not worried about ourselves and looking inward and getting depressed and thinking about what we can't do. Rather, if we pray knowing that God's with us and we keep our eyes open and our hands almost extended out, whether it's a physical way or a spiritual way, to those around us, and we might be just a word or thought we might say to those around us, a word to those around us, might make their day. And we never know how it can do it, but it's almost like that we're paying it forward. Good things from us, God is good. If we allow God to work through us and touch others, it can only be good. So Lord, thank you for guiding me. This prayer kind of got a little bit in a bunch of different directions, but I think the whole thing is stressing your love for others, and your love many times can be shown through a healing, and your mercy through a healing, just like there were so many examples of Jesus in the Bible, how he healed so many and others. So Lord, we pray that your healing touch will be upon Dave, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Lord and God and being with us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Son, Holy Spirit. So we haven't any phone callers in yet. Somebody might want to just call in to let us know the station's still on the air and working and you can hear something. Right, Patrick? We could use some a little thing. I'm just kidding. But the number is 610-527-2906. So it's 610-527-2906, and it's the healing day of prayer. What I wanted to do now is you have to bear with me, how sometimes things come to me prompting through the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to, we're speaking today, and for this weekend's Mass, it's the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And I wanted to preface it to the listeners because Cornelius was a centurion, and Cornelius lived outside of Joppa. But he had a relationship with God, and he was a believer in Christ. So this is where this comes through. It's a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and, falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up. I myself am also a human being." Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have poured out in the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Now, what's interesting about it is Cornelius was met by an angel. An angel approached Cornelius and said, go down into Joppa and see a man named Simon, who is also called Peter, and tell him what I have told you. Go meet with him and talk about the faith. Meanwhile, while this was all happening beforehand, Peter had a dream while he was in Joppa, and he had a dream of a sheet with four sides to it and different animals. And he was asked, are these unclean to eat? Because there was a big thing about with the Jewish people and the Gentiles and what would be eating correctly, what would not be eating correctly, what would be circumcised, uncircumcised. But what Peter was shown through that, God basically saying, can anything I created be unclean? Now that could stand for the animals as food, but also as Gentiles. Would Gentiles be able to have the same opportunity to have the Holy Spirit of God touch them also? So meanwhile, then Peter was really astounded that Cornelius listened to the angel, went and sought out this Simon called Peter. So he spoke to him, and when he did that, everything fell upon Peter because he could say, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have poured out on the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, for they also could hear him speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And Peter responded, can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have? He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So why I'm saying that story is, many of us, we don't even realize sometimes we're getting prompted. Many of us aren't going to have an angel typically appear to us in a dream. Some of us may, but most of the time it won't be. But it might have someone come into your life that's creating some thought, and you're thinking, well, maybe I should bring up something about faith to this person. Or if they say something that's not really true in regard to faith or Jesus, we might think, I don't know if I should say anything or not. I'm not sure. And then we get prompted again to with that holy boldness to say something. And what happens is when we respond, test the Spirit and ask, is this of God? You know, is this what really you want me to do? Certainly we have to pray things to discern the spirits. When we step out and speak to a person about something that we weren't sure how they were going to take it, or we weren't sure about that, if it's encouraged by God, it's hard not to do it, but we have to, because we have free will, we can accept doing it. And by doing that, we might be that conduit that Cornelius was to Peter, and that Peter ended up by listening to the meaning about that sheet coming down with the different animals. Peter then, it was a confirmation to him that Jesus would send Cornelius and nowhere to see him. So they both were open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and acted upon them. And look at all the fruits that came out. So each of us, in thinking about it, sometimes we think we're not important enough that God would take the time to try to nudge any of us in a certain way so that we might help others, because we just think about our part of the puzzle, but God is God and we are not. So God creates scenarios, and he already has the pieces of puzzles put together, but what we have to do is be open to his perfect will and sometimes the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So when we're open to the direction God wants us to go, we might just be a conduit to say something to someone around us. And that was just what they needed to hear in their life to strengthen their faith. And then they can take that faith or strengthen to do something for someone else. But we sometimes think, and it's kind of narrow-minded in our humanness, that God isn't in charge of everything. And he's got these intricate puzzles set up and meanings, and we don't really do it. But the key is, and I prayed with for Ray, that he would have the peace of the Holy Spirit. When we're in communion with God, with Jesus, we're at peace. And we're full, because we're full of this love of God, this love of Christ in us. And by being full, we don't have time or ability to look inward at any dark recesses of ourselves. We're looking outward with the joy and love of Christ. And once we look outward, we might notice someone in front of us or next to us that's speaking to us. But by then, we'll come up with the eyes of our heart will be the eyes of Christ in our heart. And all of a sudden, it might dwell upon us that the person we're speaking to needs something to be said to him. And the words we're saying, whether we know it or not, are just what God wants them to hear, because he's trying to get them ready for another part of their life. And sometimes we will get confirmations that this is what happened. Other times we won't. But God usually gives us a little bit of a confirmation sometimes at times in our life to let us know, yeah, I got this. I'm here. But I need you to be my hands and feet to talk to others and be with others. And I'm not sure if that makes a lot of sense the way I explained it, but basically, God loves us so much, and each of you are so important. Regardless of how you feel about yourself, you're so important and loved by God that he wishes to heal you, touch you, so that you may be an instrument for yourself and also to bring his love and mercy and touch to others. And I think that's where so many times, that's just exactly what God wants, what Jesus wants. He's love. And it's important that we keep that in mind, because sometimes, and all the time, the devil just wants to beat us down. He wants to be depressed, wants us to look inward and look at the darkness of our lives and what did we do, and we're not worthy and we can't do this. But each of you listening, God loves you more than you can ever imagine. And that unconditional love is amazing. And if we can kind of, some of you, if you're listening or going through a tough time, your hands are clenched right now. But a little something easier is open your hands up and outward and receive the mercy and love of God. And we'll pray about that after the break. But we have a break coming up in about, right about now. So we'll be right back after this break, and I want to continue on that sign. God bless you.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly, it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. and Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus the Word to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, good afternoon. I'm back on this People's Day of Prayer, People's Hour of Prayer. I'm Mike Altshuler, and as I said before, my cohort who's usually with me, Dr. Anton Raimondo, is in Lourdes. We pray that he will certainly have a blessed time and receive many, many miracles in Lourdes. And miracles are what we really we pray for and expect when we're praying to the Lord Jesus, and that's what this hour of prayer is really for our, to touch and heal each of our listeners and to be with us and to go from there. I wanted to briefly, it's funny how each, as we go through lives and the people we interact with and things come up, God's got a plan, a reason, and he already has a plan made and everything like that. And I want to preface it by saying, I know like 5 years ago, a friend of mine who I had coached Little League Baseball with, maybe 30 years ago, just a nice guy, and I know him. He's in the construction field and everything like that. And a couple of our kids had played baseball together and gone to high school together. And a little over 5 years ago, he got diagnosed with this disease, ALS, or the more common name is Lou Gehrig's disease. And I knew a little bit about it. And the more I kind of learned about it was to realize there is no cure for that. And it can... It's a very tough illness, is ALS, and bit by bit, it can do very quickly or slowly, but eventually the body loses the ability for the lungs, the muscles of the lungs and diaphragm to move, and the people basically suffocate. They can't eat or swallow, and they suffocate. Usually starts the lower extremities, works up their body, their hands, and all like that. And some live longer than that. But so Mike had this, his name is Mike also, like mine. He had this diagnosed about 5 years ago, and we would go, wife and I, to some different ALS activities they'd have through the years, and I, you know, never knew much about it, how it was going, and we'd keep in contact and all like that. But probably a year and a half ago, it started getting worse, and my wife Terry is friends with his wife, and she mentioned that she said, you know, when somebody has this, she said, everybody is kind of, the word ghosts of them. And I'm like, what's that mean? She said, well, they don't come around. They're almost afraid to be around because I think they're uncomfortable and they don't know what to say. So I said, well, and in my job, I can usually designate hours during the day where I can get free time. And I said, well, I think I'll give his wife a call and talk to him, see if he don't mind me coming around once a week. You know, just talk to him and go for an hour. And I thought about it. So he was more than open to it. By that time, he was in a wheelchair, and he could transfer himself to a chair or wheelchair and do that. But it was starting to get worse, certainly, and he couldn't walk. And little did I know what a great blessing it would be to me to do this. And I'm, first thinking about it, I think Mike and I always got along. We had enjoyed coaching together, and he's just a good guy. We could talk construction. So I thought, yeah, I'll do this. And little did I know that I ended up getting the bigger blessing out of this, I think, than he did. And what I'm saying is, it would happen. We got to know each other, and a lot of the things, and he was open to me bring communion over to him. And each week, or some weeks, he just wasn't feeling well, and he had to cancel out on the thing. But as we're going through that, we would get to know each other. We'd certainly talk sports, and then we talked about each other. And then I would bring up faith with him, you know, in Christ, and talking about how each of us, no matter who we are, we have a finite number of years left on this earth. Now, some people will talk about it and some won't, but when you're speaking with someone who has a disease that's basically a death sentence, I mean, there's no cure for it, it kind of hits home a little bit. And what really I wanted to, if anything, get across to Mike was just how he's never alone. And down the road, some days are going to get worse, and it's going to get worse and worse. And there's a lot of times when he won't have anybody around. His wife does a great job being with him, and the last few months he's had nurses year-round. But there's times that when he struggled just to get a breath, or he couldn't eat, or he lost another physical thing that he could do. You know, it's kind of like it keeps taking off different things. But I kept saying, in those times when it's the worst of the times, because there's good hours, bad hours, just remember, you're never alone. Jesus is always with you. And Jesus is always with you. You're never alone. You can speak to him. And part of with that, I kind of always said that. And then I would say also, Mike, the best is yet to come. At some point, each of us pass away in this earthly life. And you possibly will go sooner than me. But the point is, heaven in eternity is so unexplainable. And all this pain and all this disappointment of losing more and more your physical facilities, the ability to work, the ability to walk, eventually the ability to talk, the ability to pick up things with your hands, all those things will be insignificant at the time you reach heaven. And that's the best is yet to come. And I kind of think about it for all of our listeners. This time on earth is fantastic. It's beautiful, and we can love so much. But no matter what hardships you're going through, or what pain you're going through, or whatever it might be, you're never alone. Jesus is always with you. And for each of you, the best is yet to come. And when we're speaking with each other, I mean, I'm talking about each of us speaking to someone else, a lot of times pray that the eyes of your heart will be open to the person you're conversing with. And also, you're also keeping in communion with Christ. And probably about a year and a half ago, about a year ago, a friend of mine had asked me, would I be interested in helping him do a project in the Poconos, that he wants to build a shrine with the exact same cross and dimensions as in Medjugorje, Cross Mountain. And would I help him on this project? Now, because I have a place up the Poconos, and it's only 20 minutes away from his property. The property's like 455 acres. And there was really nothing done on it yet. There's no design of the cross. So he had asked me, would I help him do this? Because he wants to create a Marian shrine there and have a exact duplicate, build a duplicate of the cross in Medjugorje, which is probably like 35 feet high in this. And my initial reaction, I didn't say anything, was, no way, I can't do this. This is too much too bigger for me. I don't have the expertise. I sell building products. I don't know how to build or go about developing this thing or not. But I told him I'd pray about it. So I was telling my friend Mike on one of my weekly visits about this thing, and I'm speaking to him, and all of a sudden it's almost like, you know how with Peter he had the scales come off his eyes or whatever? I'm speaking, and I'm looking at Mike, and I said, wait a minute. I was telling him, but I said, Mike, you have a construction background. And I said, do you think you could be the brains behind this project? In other words, if you tell me what I need to do next, I'll agree with Greg. You go ahead and help him with this project, and perhaps we can get it going. Well, Mike said, sure. And he said, tell me about what you want to do. And I told him about it, and he said, well, first you need to get a construction engineer to construct the cross, because you're going to have somebody build its specifications, and it's got to have to be approved by a concrete structural engineer. And I'm like, oh, what else? And he said, well, you need to get the land planning done. You need to tie into a company that does land planning, because they're going to have to get permits for the local township and go from there. And he said, and then you're going to have to design through all the woods, because it was 455 acres and maybe 200 are wooded. So you also have to clear a way for the construction vehicles to get up to the top of the mountain where you're going to have the cross built. Then you have to clear an area on the top of the mountain. And I thought, huh. At that point, I was ready to say, nah, I don't think it's going to work out and all like that. So I said, well, how do you do that? So Mike gave me suggestions about the different parts of his project. And I looked at him, I go, Mike, you can be the brains of this organization. If you give me the guidance, I can do it. I'll be the hands. And I'll tell this fellow, Greg, okay, I'll do it. He goes, sure, no problem. Well, Mike's eyes lighted up. And now all of a sudden, through this somewhat random thing, how we got together about doing it, Mike now had another purpose in his life to really guide things, because he was literally the brains besides this project to get it going. So bit by bit, he kind of worked me through this. We walked through it. It's still got a way to go. We still have to raise the funds for the cross to get, you know, we got a number. But Mike got everything in motion with his suggestions tied in. We got a construction a concrete engineer. We got the drawings finished. The concrete engineer was a Catholic who had come back to the church. I never even knew the fellow had any faith. I called him out of the blue to do this. He was excited about the project, got involved. The land planner was from a fellow who I thought at a church did that, but I didn't know he had a company that they do that. And one by one, with the different things, we've done it. So we now have the road cut out through the woods, and the opening at the top. Still need fundraising for that. But Mike played a key role, and I said to him, I said, Mike, what you've done, I'm not sure if this project would be done in my lifetime or yours. Just said this a couple weeks ago to him, but I said, you played a key role in it. And it's funny how when God gives a very bad situation to someone to do it, because Mike couldn't work anymore, he couldn't really do a lot, but he could do this. And to do that gave him light to realize, hey, I'm doing something very worthwhile and doing it. And God in his infinite wisdom had a great plan for that. And I thought, you know, I went in there thinking, yeah, I'm going to get Mike. Yeah, we get that. We could talk about life and everything like that. But this really was fun. It was like so much fun when I would see him each week. And he'd go, okay, what's going on with the project now? What about this? And it was just wonderful. And it was really neat to see how God worked in a situation that you would never think of. But he had nudged me, perhaps through my wife, to visit with him. And then so Gregory, whose project is running this, and he had this vision 20 years ago and got the property, we're kind of on our way to see this. And I'm not sure when it'll get finished, but I just said to Mike a couple weeks ago, Mike, no matter what happens, if we ever see the end of this in our lifetime, we played a role in it, and you played a really key role to do that. And you could just see the smile on his face and the contentment. So even in any situation, I think God's always got his hand in there, but we have to keep the eyes of our heart open. If I didn't really see it, and it was just the Holy Spirit seeing it, all of a sudden I looked at him like, holy cow, I guess I could do this if I have Mike's help, if he'd be willing. And it gave Mike a purpose, you know, really something to do, because by that time he couldn't work physically anymore as a carpenter and couldn't do it. But he could do this, and it'll always be remembered and all like that, and I think it's a great story. So I'm not sure if that came across clearly, but when I began the show, I said, you never know what situations you're in, and just be open to how God wants to use you in a situation and who you're speaking with, because he will let us know those things. And I think that's kind of a fascinating way to do it, and it was a great lesson for me in really being open and present in the presence of the moment. And all of a sudden, it's like God just kind of lets us know something and says, huh. And you see something in someone that you wouldn't have thought of, but the Holy Spirit will guide you, and God's always got the best of plans. Now, where it goes from here, I'm sure we'll have another person in heaven praying for us, Mike, who passed away this morning at 8 o'clock. But God has a great plan, and I have no doubt that it'll get done. I'm not sure the time frame or when or where, but you got to just give thanks to God, for he's always orchestrating love and mercy to his people, and he wants things doing. And I'm sure in the future there'll be many conversions at this project, or people coming closer to the Blessed Mother Mary and to Jesus, and their faith and the deepening of faith. It'll be a great pilgrimage area. And when God's got the greatest of plans, they're always bigger than we can imagine, but they go from there. Now, we have 12 minutes left, and we don't have any phone calls yet, but at this point, certainly we encourage you. The phone number is 610-527-2906. So it's 610-527-2906. If any of you have any comments, or you want to speak, you would certainly want some prayers for someone you know, or for yourselves, or just overall comments about what we can kind of go with from there. Alrighty. Now, this was quite another interesting week for myself, because I had to go out on a really quick, I don't really have to travel too often, but I had to do for work, go to a conference, and it was in Tucson, Arizona. It was a quick leaving Monday morning early and not coming back till, I guess I'd say, Thursday morning at 1 in the morning. But they gave us two or three hours a day. And right by this Tucson, there was a walking path right in the desert. And they have those big Segura cactus. They're like 20, 30, 40 feet high. They're amazing. But there was a path, and it wasn't the smartest thing to go at noon out there, because by that time it's like 95 degrees. But they said, take water with you. So I had about an hour for a walk. So I walked through the path, and within a quarter mile, you can't see anything around you, and you're in the middle of this path going, weaving through the mountain range and all the cactus. I don't know if they call them cactus forests or whatever they were. But what amazed me was, as I was about half hour into the walk, how deadly quiet it was. And you could hear nothing, because by that time in the middle of the day, it's not the best time to go for a walk. They said it should have been the morning or afternoon, or morning or evening. But it was so deadly quiet. And what that reminded me of was when you read the beginning of the Gospels after Jesus was baptized, who went in the desert for 40 days, 40 nights. And it reminded me of how difficult that must have been, because I was only there for an hour, and I just thought how quiet it was in hell. And I know there at night it gets cooler, in the mornings it's cooler. So for him to be there for 40 days, 40 nights, and then he got tempted by the devil, you know, at that point, shoot, after an hour, I wouldn't have been upset if somebody came up to me and wanted to talk to me. But Jesus, being true man and true God, he was tempted, but he didn't allow that temptation. So when you read that, I don't know if that'll help you at some time in the future, when you read that passage about Jesus was tempted in the desert, it is very, very quiet and very hot and very dry. And it just gives me all the appreciation in a deeper way of our Lord and Savior Jesus, what he did as God and man to do that. Well, say it again, that number 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Now, what I have, what I've been getting prompted about is, I'd like to pray for, I think we have listeners who are going through some type of depression and all like that. So I'd like to say a prayer. I'm not sure how, but it's kind of the way that Holy Spirit works with us. I've been getting prompted while I'm speaking with these other things to speak about that. So I'd like to say a prayer to say a prayer for those folks or that person, particularly who's suffering from depression right now. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for being our Lord and God. Lord, we pray for that person or persons in our listening audience who are going through a severe depression. We pray, Lord, that although their lives seem so dark and dreary right now, it seems like there's no hope and no future. We pray, Lord, through your love and mercy, that you can penetrate that darkness of depression, that you can penetrate those feelings and create a ray of light in their world. Lord, we pray that you may, through yourself or some other one, create some ray of hope in this person or these persons' lives, so that they realize, number one, they're not alone, that you're there with them. And this light or uplifting is a confirmation that you're there and you're in their life. And we pray, Lord, that whether it's a physical, emotional, or spiritual reason why this depression and darkness has come about their lives, Lord, we pray that you may lift this dark cloud over them and allow your light to shine into them, even just one little ray to penetrate their heart, and to realize, yes, you are there, and yes, there's hope. We pray, Lord, that those person or persons who are aware of this light and ray of light touching them right now, we pray, Lord, that they'll realize it's you. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except for you, and they'll know that you're there and that they are not alone, and that you're with them and love them, and you'll be with them in their mercy. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We did have a caller call in. we had a call for prayers for Beverly for her knees. She's got pain in her knees and legs, and she's got a lot of health issues. So, Lord, in your name, Jesus, we pray for Beverly. We pray for this pain that she's experiencing in her knees and legs and right foot. We pray, Lord, that if it's your will, right now you will send your healing rays of mercy to her with her knees down, her legs to her knees and her right foot. We pray, Lord, that whatever that's causing that pain, that the pressure may be relieved for that, or swelling, or whatever it is, Lord, if it's sciatica, we pray whatever it is, Lord, that the pressure that's causing that, whether it's displacement of joints, whatever, what's your will, Lord, we pray that that can be healed. We pray, Lord, that you'll create relief from those nerves that are getting pushed. It's creating all this pain, if that's what it is. We pray, Lord, that Beverly will realize that she is not alone in this, and you are with her. And that in itself is going to be comforting to her. But we pray, Lord, that she can get the, pray, number one, that there will be a healing. But most importantly, Lord, that you'll be able to get her perhaps directed to where she can get some medical help to alleviate this pain, if it's your will. Most importantly, Lord, we'd like to just like many of the apostles and saints and people today say, and you said, get up and walk. We pray that this can happen with Beverly. But most importantly, we pray that Beverly will get to have some hope in her life to realize that she's loved by you and you hear her prayers and you'll answer them, but it'll be in your perfect timing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this time we have for a quick call, or if it's quick, we have one more 2 minutes to go. It's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. And all of a sudden today, a lot of times it's a little more difficult for your listeners. Sometimes if you don't have callers in to fill the hour with time, but boy, I've got another story to tell, but I don't have enough time. So the Holy Spirit's blessed me today with some promptings to speak about different things. So I'll have to remember this next story and tell you the next time, or on next month. It's always the first Friday of each month. But I'd like to, we'll start, I have about a minute left. I'll do a closing prayer and be open to any promptings of Spirit for our listeners. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being the Lord our God. Lord Jesus, we pray for any of our listeners who've been prompted but a little nervous about calling in. We pray that they'll send those prayers directly to you. That's the best hotline, is from one person to you, Lord. We pray that they will feel your presence. We pray that they'll know that they're not alone in this world. You are always with them, and you will never let them down. We pray, Lord, that for any of those who are having really terminal illness, and it doesn't seem good at all, that the best is yet to come. This life is wonderful, but when it's our time for our earthly life to end, through you, you'll be there. Mother Mary and Joseph will be at their side at their death. The best is yet to come, Lord, and we pray and thank you in advance for healing our prayers. Amen.